18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church in Portland. Not So Supernova is a full-length one-woman play exploring the edges of motherhood and marriage with humor and depth. Again, that's Not So Supernova on Saturday, January 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church, 4033 Southeast Woodstock Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Natural Grocers, which is donating 2.5% of company-wide sales this MLK Day to the Jack and Jill Gap Fund for Historically Black Colleges and Universities.
Andy Warhol looks a scream at him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Alexis Day. Her show Cascades, Synapse, and Satin is on now at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery through Saturday, February the 1st, 2020. Thanks for coming to KBOO, Alexis.
Thank you for having me.
You are a very newly minted artist. You just graduated in last spring with an MFA in Visual Studies from PNCA, and you've got this show at Liz Leach, which is pretty good for someone who just graduated, right?
Yes, it's been very exciting. I've had some good momentum to start off with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your art is tapestries, which is fascinating because I've never seen anything like it. I saw your work in the MFA show last year at the Glass Building, and it really jumped out because you were just using a new media to me. So what you do is you take fabric, they seem like, you know, random fabric, sort of offcut silk, satin, and then you have photos printed on fabric, so they're pretty clear, like digital photos, contemporary, and then you put it all together and then you slash the fabrics and you open it up and you have things behind that, so revealing other images, and then you have things like swags and curtains on the sides, and then you sew over things sometimes with big looping stitches, and you also draw on the surface as well, so you've got so much going on, but together you form these amazing sort of tableaus. You know, they're maybe 6 foot by 4 foot, some of them, and they're usually of a scene of a room. They have this sort of intense interior feel to them, sometimes with people in them, sometimes no people. So
I call these mixed media tapestries, and this concept kind of arose slowly. Over the last several years, I combined multiple different tactics and passions. I was a photographer and I was a painter, and I've always been drawn to textiles, and I figured out a way to weave them all together in this process.
Mm-hmm. So the basis of a lot of the pictures, for instance, Transition is one of the ones. It's a tall, skinny one. It faces you as you come in the gallery, and it looks like a balcony on maybe like a New Orleans hotel. It's got that wrought iron work in the shadow, and it's a long corridor, basically. You're looking down, and there's a little kid in the distance, and it's sort of dark green and blue. The fabric, like, what's the main sort of grayness of the floor? What is that?
The floor is actually photographed still. And that's part of maybe one of the only parts that's still photographed in that image.
Yeah. So there's all this gold sort of, what do you call that fabric, the gold?
That was a dress. So it's a gold lace that I've repurposed for this.
And you've turned it into doorways, is that right?
The doorways.
Doors? Okay, mm-hmm. Doors. But you also use it on the other side as what?
It's kind of just archway. So
yeah.
My selection is kind of a mix between replicating the things that are originally in the photographic image and then also just doing aesthetic compositional choices.
Mm-hmm. So you're really messing around here because using the same fabric to do two totally different things, right? So what about the little kid? Is that a photo?
Yes, so that's actually my niece. I don't expect the viewer to see that. But I think a lot about female experience in my work. And so having this child running down this hallway, and it just felt very intense for me. And then when I looked up, when I was coming up with names for this piece later, I realized that in Jungian dream theory, that hallways mean transition. And that's one of the ways that I got the name for this piece.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so was it the kid originally running in a kind of balcony like this?
Yes, the kid is actually running on the balcony.
Right. At the time, did you think this picture could be an artwork?
Yes, I'd say it started out just as a moment of me playing with my niece, and then as the scene developed, I saw the composition. And when I'm at the photo capturing stage of my art process, then I'm just carrying it around with me everywhere, and so I caught it.
Mm-hmm. What camera did you use?
I have a Nikon D7000.
Is that like a?
It's an SLR.
Consumer SLR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you get the photo onto the fabric?
When I was at PNCA, I used the on-site printers. But then after leaving PNCA, I've been trying to figure out these different ways of not relying on their tools to be able to do the same thing. So I actually have the photograph printed online.
Online?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that?
There's many different websites where you can order your photographs printed online.
Onto fabric?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know what the fabric's like? If you
The first one was an experiment, and then it worked really well. I've been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you trust them to pick the right fabric?
It's a cotton sateen is what I've gone with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So another picture that this one is a lot more colorful and a lot more photorealistic because there's people in it. There's more people. It's called Converge. And there's basically, it looks like two or three women on a couch, and then two other women on a different love seat, and then someone else in a kind of a rocking chair, and they're watching what looks like an old TV, like a cathode ray tube TV on top of a fireplace, and they're all waving their arms and cheering. You know, I can't tell what it is. It could be sports, it could be game show. And then the foreground is a dining table, one of those split dining tables with a bunch of red flowers on it, and you've got the chairs in place. And then the kind of vibe of it is kind of a dark living room. The curtains are closed, it's dark green walls. You're looking through an archway, one of those, what do you call those? They divide two rooms, they're like a very small arch, like around the edge of the ceiling. It's kind of claustrophobic, and yet the people in it are having a really good time. So why would you call it Converge for starters?
So Converge means come together, and I think that went with the figures that are in the piece, and then it also speaks to my process where I'm bringing together all of these different materials to create the cohesive image.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm creating this piece, I was thinking about, again, this idea of shared female experience and memory, and kind of how these type of moments are fleeting, but there's a lot of joy in this moment, but then it can pass quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of hinted at maybe the flowers felt very poetic to this too. And again, this was a photograph that I just captured. So the same time in my process, so camera on me all the time, we're watching the show Bachelor. Someone's kissing.
Another Bachelor artist.
I mean, I guess
you're
so.
The second I've had on here.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, so we weren't super excited about who she was kissing. We were surprised, and I just thought it was a pretty nice moment.
Was this a remote shot, or were you behind the camera?
I was behind the camera.
Okay, right. So this is your friend's reaction.
Yes.
Rather than yours. Now, I noticed that in real life, you can see this much more clearer. The TV, the top left-hand corner, is cut away.
Mm-hmm.
So the image is a black and white photo, but behind it there's this gold thing gleaming out. What is that?
That's mylar, and I do that in all of these pieces. I play with frames and windows and doorways, and I cut segments out and I replace it with other images or other materials. I think of them as portals because I'm thinking of these as kind of mental spaces or psychological spaces. And so these are like compartments to other areas of your mind or other emotions or aspects of personality.
Mm-hmm. So you studied psychology at the U of O, and something you just said made me think. You say this piece is about memory. I feel like we're all trained now, particularly by the media and the kind of self-help world, to live to create memories. You know, people deliberately, this weekend I'm going to create good memories with my kids. We're going to go fly a kite, or, you know, we're going to go to the beach. It's become a very conscious thing. And similarly, we're living in an age where people are taking pictures more than they're actually living. You know, they'll interrupt everything to get that right picture. So were you thinking about either of those two things as you made this?
I wasn't necessarily, but I think that's very interesting. And it makes me think about just, you know, a photo is so inefficient at actually capturing a moment. It's just it'll capture the aesthetics of the moment, but it can't really capture the same feelings to a degree.
Is that why you layer on to your imagery to get more?
Yeah, I guess I've never really quite satisfied with just a photograph. And to really feel like I get to communicate the emotion or the experience, adding all of these paints and gestural marks through stitches and through the drawing, it helps me get there.
So if you look in the foreground there, below the gold chair, there's gold thread, very, very big stitches, and they follow the path, they follow the lines of the back of the chair and the leg, and this other kind of big slash in the floor. So you've kind of created cuts and then sewn them together. Why do you do that?
So I cut into my pieces for multiple reasons, but this specific circumstance with the strings holding on to the chair, that's because a lot of times I'm trying new things and in the moment, and then I need to problem solve. So when I cut out those large segments, that lower part, which I see as the carpet or the rug, would flop down. So I need to do those stitches to get it to hold up again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And another reason that I will cut into the fabric and do these different things is I'm really interested in perception, how our eyes are seeing and interpreting space. So with the portals, your eyes actually navigate into these holes. And by creating these very obvious layers within the piece, I'm doing that too, creating avenues for your eyes to investigate and interpret and try to figure out what exactly you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. There's another piece called In Still, and that seems to focus on that very idea. You've got a woman, a little girl, they're sitting on a chair looking away from us, and they're looking at a kind of mid-century modern house sort of thing, and it looks like there's an older woman inside maybe doing something with her head down. But the young woman, who presumably is the mom, has a phone, and the kid's looking at the phone, but in the gallery, you know, in the actual piece, you've cut the phones, whatever was on it is gone, and you've put another photo in, and it's another kind of receding hallway thing, I think. So what is that image? I can't quite see it.
It's actually the same image that began as that transition piece, or another one that I took at the same time. And this piece is called Instill, and I was thinking about just that kind of... You've got the three women there. You've got an older woman, a mother role, and a child role, and just passing of information and instilling of what it is to be a woman is kind of the thoughts that were going through my mind.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying in this case that the mother is showing the kids something on the phone that's going to have a deep impression on her?
I'm just kind of thinking of the larger process and how culture and communities and family all go into this process, into instilling into a human's mind what they think about the world.
Mm-hmm. The house itself is amazing because you've captured this sort of lilac, kind of lavender tone to what is probably a white house, you know, like a siding or an aluminum roof. And then you've the electrical outlets on the outside of the house. It's one of those covered up ones like you'd have out in the weather. And you've kind of reprocessed that, right? It's not just a photo. You cut something out and put something on it.
Yes.
And it's just a little detail that made me think there's no surface here that hasn't been examined and you know, if you want to, you'll change it.
Yeah, and I think there's multiple stages, and I'm working on all of these kind of simultaneously a lot of the time, and I'll go back and forth, and there's kind of the cutting stage and then the painting stage, and then I'll go back and do these fine details. And yeah, one of my favorite items of this piece is it is my sister who's in this. I don't expect the viewer to see that, but I gave her a little inklet. I didn't need to.
You gave her that?
Yeah. So
I mean, in the making the art?
Yeah. So I just sewed. I sewed her a little string and a bead, and I made her an inklet. And the outlet, yes, it's the same. I'm thinking, oh, in real life, that would reflect light. Let's make it reflect some light. And there's some plants in the window up by the woman. And I beaded those because it replicate. I don't know why exactly. Sometimes it's just play, and it's experiencing the space and the materials.
Mm-hmm. What did your sister say when she saw the anklet?
I don't think she said anything about that at this point.
She didn't yell at you and say, I'm not an anklet person?
Nope.
No? Is she down with your art? Does she like it?
I think she likes it, yeah. She lives in Las Vegas now, so she actually hasn't seen this in person, I don't think.
Oh, okay. So there is a kind of mid-century modern feel. Where are all these buildings?
That one is in Southwest Portland, that building. Mm-hmm. Other buildings, Southeast Portland. Let me see.
Oh, it's all Portland stuff.
Not all of it. This Blue Piece Echo, I think we'll talk about soon. That's Seattle. There's one in Salt Lake. Bandon, Oregon.
Bandon. Yes. I go there a lot.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
No kidding?
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Alexis Day. She makes tapestries, which are on now at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery through February the 1st. And the title of the show is Cascades, Synapse, and Satin. So, you're from Bandon, eh?
I am, yes.
Bandon by the Sea, to give it its correct term.
Yes, born and raised.
Is there anything about the light? You know, Bandon, it's always 60 degrees in January or July, and the wind picks up every afternoon at the same time. Is there anything about that atmosphere as a photographer that you've carried with you and you use everywhere you go?
I mean, I think there's a color palette that maybe comes from that and what I think is appealing and aesthetic. I think these grays and these blues I'm very drawn to. And I was raised with essentially, you know, just half block away or so, the beach being right there, and our beaches are very different than even seaside, let alone an LA beach, right? They're empty and vast, and we've got those giant rocks.
And the ocean is just violet. I mean, the waves are the size of double-decker buses coming in. It's just, you would not want to be out there because you'd be dead instantly. It's just ferocious. But it's often, well, it's usually cloudy, but when the sun shines, it's amazing. There's another piece called Echo, which is another interior, and it looks like a sort of well-appointed drawing room with a dog sitting on the floor, panting. Everything is blue or purple. The couch has got some yellow cushions. Is that a TV there on the side with a floral pattern? So you took a big TV and just put flowers over the front of it.
I did, yes.
Why did you do that? Did you not want an image of TV stuff?
It just seemed like a perfect opportunity to make a portal again, so just disrupt what you would expect to be there.
And then the floor of the room, because of the way that the tapestry is hung, is all ruffled up. So I should describe these pieces. A lot of them look like curtains. The way they're hung in the gallery, they're hung from it looks like a pole. And they're kind of bunched in places. So you don't make any pretense that these should be smooth. How do you hang them? And like, who decides where the ruffles go and the bunching?
That's all my decisions. And I actually fabricate the mounts that they're on. I want them to be a few inches off of the wall so I can create the physical portals, holes for your eyes to go into. So they're mounts custom for the piece, and I'll experiment a while trying different ruffles, different ways of hanging it until I settle on a way I like. But I expect it for every hanging for them to change to some degree.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody buys one of these, how much guidance do you give them for installing it in their home?
I have the mounts, and I have markers on the back where they're actually hooked onto it with magnets onto these iron bars. I have marks where the magnets should go, mm-hmm. approximations.
Oh, okay.
But I also am not sold on them needing to be in this specific mounting style. I think a shadow box would look really nice with these mm-hmm. as well.
What do you think about their longevity as pieces of work?
I'm not using any paper. I'm only using fabric primarily, so I'd expect the same as most other textile type pieces.
Mm-hmm. What about fading?
Fading? Time will tell. We'll see what happens with the fading.
Mm-hmm. And then where do you get all these bits of fabric?
The bits of fabric, they come from my own clothing, the clothing of my sisters, and then also places like Scrap or Goodwill. Or other people who have donated clothing to me. I do purchase some when I'm getting a piece and I need this particular thing.
Oh, yeah.
Then at times I'll search out for it and sometimes ultimately purchase it. But most of the additional fabric besides the printed photograph are repurposed.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to the bins?
I have been to the bins.
Which one? Selwood?
Yes.
Because there's one in Hillsborough. There's one by the airport now.
Yes, I've done the Selwood one. I bring gloves, but I enjoy it, and it's $1 a pound or something, or $1. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you could come away with a mountain of stuff. How much sorting do you do? How discretionary?
I'm very discretionary. I only choose things that I think I'll use. I don't have my studio is pretty small. I don't have space to just have a lot. That being said, though, I do have all these bins, and they're sorted by color. So blue fabric, purple fabric, red fabric, just like painters would have tubes of paint.
Oh, wow.
And so in my process, I'll pull out all the blues and match, try to find the perfect shade of blue to go into this location.
Mm-hmm. A couple more with inscrutable titles, Reconcile and Love Seeds. Reconcile has a couch in it. It looks like a brown couch. And it's a big view out of a window, basically. So you do a lot of views out of windows. Like, these are houses with huge picture windows, and there's always like forest in the background mixed in with buildings. But the window frames here are all like bent and, you know, distressed. And why is that?
So for this piece, I was thinking. So the name Reconcile comes from this original photograph has this expansive outdoor scene, and then you're inside. So this merger between interior and exterior space. And I'm just trying to break that down in this image where the outside has these fabrics and textures, and the inside has
some of the same, actually, doesn't it?
It does.
The gold stuff, the gold lace, I recognize from somewhere else, and it's inside and it's outside in this case.
Yes, and just pulling the interior exterior together.
Mm-hmm. And then another one, so that has no people in it, and also Love Seat has no people, but you have this amazing view down on a love seat, so the perspective is all weird. You're like looking down on the couch. You can see the flat cushions, but also the back. And then you can also see straight out the window behind it.
And when you go out the window, there's actually two figures there outside the window. So you see the couch and you're drawn into that. And then if you examine the outdoor space more, you'll see these two figures interacting with each other. There's some disconnection. He's looking down. She's looking out. And again, so there was a photograph that I then took to do all of this, and I just like this conversation around miscommunication relationships.
Is this gray hair, these old people?
Yes.
So you had this picture, and then what? When you say love seat, presumably they are a couple and they've had love in their lives. Why are they miscommunicating today?
I think that this image communicates that. The actual figures, I'm not saying do, but I think this image where he's looking down, she's looking away, and I'm literally looking at a love seat, that there's just a really nice parallel between the two.
Mm-hmm. rendition is really just a red purse with a white scarf draped across it, and it's on some kind of a counter.
This piece is pretty theatrical, and that's how I got the name for the piece, Rendition. I was thinking about roles and how you perform different roles. And one of the things I like about this piece so much is it's more painterly than other pieces. You can see all the rubbing accents in the back of it. And it's more sculptural than many of the other pieces coming out. And there's a large portal where you can go in there as well.
So you've got this technique already where you're balancing many different media and perspectives and, you know, layers, physical layers. It's a kind of a complex system you've built up. It seems to me very original. Where can you go with it? Do you feel like you're going to do this type of work for a decade or maybe another year? And also, do you have any kind of other ambitions, like could you work in theater, or would you want to work in a solid medium as a sculptor? You know, how do these things play out?
I think I'm pretty set on mixed media. So what media I'm working on and what materials I'm mixing together, I think that definitely has room for change. I like the idea of working with something more substantial, potentially metal eventually, but that feels a while off. I feel like I'm going to be doing fabric for a while. It's really exciting to me, and I see a lot of different room to grow. I have access to a laser cutter that I'm going to start experimenting with again.
What, no more hacking away with the scissors?
Yeah, well, I'll do that too.
Because you're pretty brutal. I'll say your cuts are kind of jagged.
And sometimes it's a little scary what happens, and other times it works out really well. So it's a risk.
So do you work on more than one of these at once? And you know, do you have them laid out on a table or what?
I'm kind of working on them all at stages. So I first do the photography, where I'm accumulating the materials, the visual image, and then I print those out. And then kind of maybe three or four at a time, and then I'll put them away for a while and come back. My studio is very small. I only have one real working wall. So it'll go up and then it'll come down and up and down. And they're moving around my space the entire time.
KBOO listeners who like Holly Andres, the photographer, we've had her on a show here. She now does amazing work for the New York Times and places like that, would like this work because it's staged, it's kind of staged scenarios, you know, and there's some psychological drama going on. It's a lot of mood, and interiors are very clear, you know, sort of, I don't know, what's the word for set up, like theatrical. So what's your Instagram?
Alexis_day_art.
Okay, everyone should have a look at that. And then one other thing, you've got a talk at the gallery, and it's on the last day of the show, correct?
Yes, so February 1st.
Okay. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Alexis Day. Her show, Cascades, Synapse and Satin, is on now at the Elizabeth Leach Gallery in the Pearl through Saturday, February the 1st. And she will have a talk at lunchtime on February the 1st. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO for the first time ever.
Thank you for having me.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Had him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
Mr. Redman, don't put me out in the street.
The Community Alliance of Tenants is working to increase awareness in Washington County of the statewide law SB 608 that was passed in early 2019. It limits rent increases and no-cause terminations for residential leases. There is a temporary bilingual English and Spanish hotline set up for Washington County renters with questions about SB 608. Rent increases, no-cause termination notices, and or lease non-renewal notices. The phone number is 503-644-3007. Again, that's the Renter's Right Hotline phone number for Washington County every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. through January 30th at 503-644-3007. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm right in the middle of solving that riddle known as raising the rent.
I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
I'm Shahid Hamid, KBOO board member. Join the World Arts Foundation and KBOO Radio as we pay homage to the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's the 35th anniversary of Keep Alive the Dream, Monday, January the 20th, from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center. This year, we will be joined by international opera star Angela Brown and straight from America's Got Talent, Danielle Damon. That's Monday, January the 20th, from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Or listen live on KBOO Radio or view it on Open Signal Community Television.
Así que vamos a delirar, deliremos por un ratito.
Marchamos con la vida.